We will continue looking at Proverbs tonight. Tonight we'll look at Proverbs 19. Proverbs 19, we'll look at one of the verses in here, one of the Proverbs statements that's given. And the one we'll see tonight is a universal statement. Said last week that many of the Proverbs need to be applied at the right time, in the right place, in the right way. There will be particular situations where a particular proverb may not apply to it. But the one we'll look at tonight is a universal proverb. It's always true. In all circumstances, it will be true. So Proverbs 19:21 says, "Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand." It's the Lord's purposes that will stand. People often try to make their own plans. They often reject God and try to go their own way. But no matter what, it's God's purposes that will stand. No one or nothing is going to stop God from accomplishing his plans. And that truth, that reality, that no matter what plans people might make, God will always accomplish his purposes and his plans, that truth is comforting to us, but it's also challenging to us. First, we should be comforted by the fact that God will always accomplish his plans. We do face difficulties in life. We face uncertainties in life. We don't always know what's going to happen. We don't always know what is going on or why it's going on. We don't always know what the answers to different difficulties are, but we can always be comforted that God's plans will prevail. And we can be comforted in God's sovereignty and the success of God's plans when we see the evil plans of others. Proverbs 19:21 says that a man tries to make many plans. Many are the plans in the mind of a man. People try to make many different plans, and sometimes those plans are evil. We are all sinners. There are evil people in the world who try to make evil plans. They want to do wrong. They want to go against God. They want to make choices that will hurt other people. That does happen. But whatever choices they try to make, or whatever plans they try to make, God's purposes will prevail. We see that statement made here in Proverbs 19. That's a truth that we see over and over again all throughout Scripture. Let's turn to Acts chapter 5. Acts 5, and while we're turning there, just mentioning several times that we see this truth throughout Scripture, that man makes plans, but God's purposes are the ones that stand. Thinking back to Genesis with Joseph and with his brothers. Joseph's brothers plan evil against him. They plan to kill him, and then they say, well, we won't kill him directly. We'll throw him in this pit. And then they say, we'll sell him in slavery and get money for him. But in Genesis 50, after they've gone down to Egypt and after the whole family's moved there and after Jacob dies, when his brothers come and talk to Joseph, what does Joseph say? He says, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. They'd made evil plans, but God still meant it for good. God still accomplished his good purposes. Think about Exodus chapter 1. Exodus 1, the new Pharaoh that's arisen in Egypt, and that Pharaoh saw the Jews, and he was afraid of them and afraid of them growing more powerful, so he tries to enslave them, but yet they are strengthened. They grow stronger even in the midst of that slavery, so he tries to have the male children killed, but again, the statement's made that that Israel grows stronger. That Pharaoh is making evil plans, but yet God's still accomplishing his plans. Acts chapter 2. Peter is preaching on the day of Pentecost, and Peter is preaching about Christ being crucified, and he says it's wicked men that have crucified Jesus, and yet Jesus still died according to the plan and the foreknowledge of God. God made a definite plan. God knew ahead of time even what those wicked men would chose to do, and God still accomplished his purposes even as they were trying to do evil. Here in Acts chapter 5, a couple, one just to mention briefly, the beginning of the chapter, there's Ananias and Sapphira, and they plan to lie, they plan to deceive about the land that they've sold and how much money they made, but God reveals their deception. They plan evil not necessarily to directly hurt other people, but just try to help themselves, make themselves look better, but God still shows their deception. Then later on in Acts 5, the religious leaders are trying to persecute the apostles. They're trying to get the apostles to stop preaching about Jesus. And at one point, they bring the apostles before the Sanhedrin, the group of religious leaders that was an organization in Israel that had a lot of authority. They bring the apostles before the Sanhedrin, and they're trying to get them to stop preaching about Jesus. But then a man named Gamaliel speaks up. And Gamaliel was well-respected in Judaism. He was one of the leading teachers in Judaism. Later on in Acts, Paul actually talks about having been trained as a Pharisee by Gamaliel. Paul had actually learned from him when Paul was studying to be a Pharisee. Well, this man, Gamaliel, he's a Pharisee. He's on the Sanhedrin. And he speaks up and he says, you know, there's been a couple other times, and he points to examples that had happened back then where some person was trying to gain a following, was teaching different things, and people followed them. But then when that person died, the movement fell away, and nothing ever came of it. Gamaliel points to those couple examples, and then look what he says in verses 38 and 39. Acts 5, 38 to 39. He says, so in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this undertaking is of man, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found opposing God. So they took his advice. And they still tried to tell the apostles, don't preach about Jesus, but then they just let them go. Well, Gamaliel pointed to a couple other examples and said, well, hey, look, here's other men who have risen up who tried to gain a following, and it was just of man, and it fell away, and it ended. Well, men speaking about Jesus, preaching about Jesus, well, if it's only of man, if Jesus wasn't who he claims to be, Gamaliel says it's just going to fall away anyway. But if it's of God, you're not going to be able to stop it. If it's God's plan, you're not going to be able to stop God's plan, and you might even be found opposing God, trying to fight against God, which is a very dangerous place to be. Of course, from the rest of Acts, the rest of the New Testament, and all throughout church history, we see this is the plan of God. Jesus is who he claims to be, and it is a wonderful truth to see God accomplishing his purposes through the preaching of his word and through the message of Christ. But Gamaliel said, well, if this is from God, you might be found opposing God. If we think about Acts chapter 12, Herod actually tries to do that. He tries to oppose the word of God, the message of God. The beginning of Acts 12, he has the apostle James killed, and then he has the apostle Peter put into prison, and he's planning to have Peter killed, but then God frees Peter from prison, and Peter's freed, he's saved from being executed, and then towards the end of the chapter, Herod himself actually dies. And it draws a contrast. Herod dies, but the word of God increased and multiplied. Herod tried to oppose the word of God, and Gamaliel warned against that. It didn't end well for him. Herod dies, the word of God increases and multiplies. God still accomplishes his purposes. All throughout Scripture, we see examples like that. Those are just a few. There's many others we could look at where someone tries to make an evil plan, tries to oppose God, but God's purposes still stand. And when we see that reality, it should comfort us. It should encourage us as we, as believers, try to follow God, try to be faithful to God. It should encourage us. God will accomplish his plans. We will still face hardship. God accomplishing his plans certainly doesn't mean we're not going to have any hard times. Joseph was still sold into slavery. Joseph was still lied about and put into prison. Peter was freed from prison in Acts 12, but James was still killed. We will still face hardship. We will still face hard times. But we can be encouraged, we can be comforted, because God will accomplish his purpose. No matter what plan someone else tries to make, God will still do the things that he's determined to do. And Proverbs 19:21 specifically points to man trying to make plans and God still accomplishing his purposes. God's purpose is standing. That's why I give several examples of God's purposes standing when people make evil plans. But if we think about it, we can even find comfort in God's plans just when we go through a personal difficulty. It's not the direct result of someone else making an evil plan, but just a hard time we might go through in life, God's purposes will still stand. Think of 2 Corinthians, where Paul talks about the thorn that he had in the flesh, something that, although Paul did face much evil plans and persecution from others, but that thorn in the flesh is more of a physical thing that he has. Many scholars believe he had very poor eyesight, that he couldn't see well. And so Paul has that physical difficulty. And yet, what does Christ say? Christ says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. even in that difficulty, Paul could still find comfort. He could still find encouragement in God's grace and in God's perfect plan. We can be encouraged by the truth that God's purposes and plans will always be accomplished. But as we find comfort in that, and as we think of the security of God's plans, we also need to look at not just our lives today, but look ahead to eternity. I said last week, as I was defining biblical wisdom and saying what Proverbs is really teaching us, that Proverbs teaches us how to live life today in preparation for eternity. The wisdom that we learn in Proverbs, the wisdom that God gives to us, is not just for our lives today and just focused on the events of today. It's looking ahead to the eternity that God has promised to us. And so as we go through difficult times now, we might face hardship, we might face difficult times, but God's purposes and God's plans for us are not just to give us a great life today, just to take our problems away today and help us to have a better life today if we follow him than we would have if we didn't follow him. That's not what God's plan purpose is. God's plan purpose is for us to spend eternity with him. And when we look at the end of Revelation, see the wonderful eternity God has prepared for us, that's what we need to look ahead to. That's what we need to focus on as we aim to stay faithful to God, as we trust that God will accomplish his purposes and his plans. We need to remember God's purposes are not just for today, they're for eternity. So we need to look forward to that future hope that God gives to us. Well, I said that we can be comforted by the fact that God always accomplishes his plans, but we can also be challenged by that fact. We can be challenged by the fact that God will always accomplish his plans, because if we're honest, sometimes we struggle with that when God permits something into our lives that we don't like, that we don't want. And we could struggle because we want things to be different. And if we were able to, we think in our wisdom we know better and we would have something better for our lives. I'm reminded of the message Pastor Jeremy preached 2 weeks ago on Ecclesiastes 7. It was a very good message, very challenging message, one that's worth going back and listening to again. But towards the end of it, he quoted from James Montgomery Boyce, a man who was a pastor for a long time, and he'd been diagnosed with liver cancer, and he died from it soon afterwards. But as he's talking to the church that he pastored about that diagnosis that he had, Boyce made the comment. He said, if God does something in your life, would you change it? Would you change something that God did in your life if you were able to? But then he said, if you change it, you'd make it worse. It wouldn't be as good. And if we think about our lives, what one thing would we want to change? In our wisdom, we might think, life would be better, my life would be better, the world would be better if I could change this one thing. And yet, in his perfect wisdom, God knows what's best. And God's plans, God's purposes are what's best. Let's go to Isaiah 7. Isaiah 7, we'll look at one more example of people making plans, and actually evil plans, but God accomplishing his purposes, but yet also the challenge to us to trust God even in the midst of that. Isaiah chapter 7, this is after the kingdom of Israel has been divided. So you have the two tribes in the south. You have Judah and Benjamin, often called the nation of Judah. And then you have the 10 tribes in the north, often called Israel, but sometimes called Ephraim, because Ephraim was the dominant tribe there. Those 10 tribes in the north, and those 10 tribes of Israel, of Ephraim, have united with Syria, which was a little bit further north. Syria and Israel have united to attack Judah. And it says in Isaiah 7, 2, says, when the house of David was told, Syria is in league with Ephraim, the nation of Israel, the 10 tribes here called Ephraim, the heart of Ahaz, who is the king of Judah, and the heart of his people shook as the trees of the forest shake before the wind. So Israel and Syria have united together. They're coming, they're trying to attack Judah. They're coming into land, but they haven't been able to attack Jerusalem yet, the capital. And so Ahaz and the people, when they hear of this, they're afraid. It says their hearts are shaking as trees of the forest shake before the wind. They're terrified of these nations that are coming to attack them. But look what God says in answer through Isaiah. Just reading part of what he says, starting in verse 5 down through verse 9, Isaiah 7, 5 to 9, God is speaking through Isaiah. He says, because Syria with Ephraim and the son of Remaliah has devised evil against you. God says, they've devised evil. They're trying to make an evil plan. Just as Proverbs 19 said that people make plans. Here, God says they've made a plan, and it's an evil plan. They've devised evil against you, saying, let us go up against Judah and terrify it, and let us conquer it for ourselves, and set up the son of Tabeel as king in the midst of it. That's their evil plan. What does God say? Verse 7, thus says the Lord God, it shall not stand, and it shall not come to pass. God says very simply, they've made an evil plan, and I've determined it's not going to happen, and my purposes will stand. Verse 8, for the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin. And within 65 years, Ephraim will be shattered from being a people. Okay? God says within 65 years from this point, Ephraim will be shattered, not just from being a nation, but from being a people. And we know from the rest of Scripture that Israel is actually conquered by Assyria. Syria, here they're united with Syria. Assyria was a rising power, and Assyria comes, conquers Syria, conquers Israel. And what do they do when they conquer Israel? They take many of the people out of the land, they resettle them in other places, and then some of the other areas and lands that they controlled, they brought people from those places into Israel, and the people intermarry with the Jews who are left, and that's where the Samaritans came from. They were from a mix of different nationalities, different ethnic groups. Well, God said here, within 65 years, Ephraim will be shattered from being a people. It's not simply their nation being conquered, because nations actually conquered near the end of the life of Ahaz, or just after he dies. It's right around the end of his life that that Israel is actually conquered by Assyria. But then within 65 years, the intermarriage, the intermingling has taken place, and they're not even a distinct people group anymore. Verse 9, the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is the son of Remaliah. But then notice what the end of verse 9, God says directly to Ahaz, if you are not firm in faith, you will not be firm at all. Verse 2, Ahaz and the people are terrified. They're terrified of this evil plan of Israel and Syria coming against them. And God says, they've made an evil plan. It's not going to stand. They're not going to be successful. They will not conquer you. But be firm in your faith. Be firm in your faith, because if you're not firm in your faith in me, you will not stand. You will not be firm at all. And that's true for Ahaz as king of Judah, and as he's trying to lead them. He won't be a firm, strong king if he's not following the Lord. And in thinking of biblical wisdom preparing us for eternity, if he's not firm in his faith in the Lord, if he doesn't follow the Lord, he's not going to be prepared for eternity either. But God challenges him and says, don't be afraid. Their evil plan will not stand. As for you, be firm in your faith. Well, sadly, Ahaz is not firm in his faith. We're told of this event here in Isaiah 7. We're also told about in 2 Kings 16, where we're given a little bit more of the history and the things that happened. Well, Ahaz, instead of being firm in his faith, instead of trusting the Lord, Ahaz actually turns to Assyria. And he asked for Assyria to come and help. And Assyria is starting to move that direction. And they're moving into Syria. And then later on, they're going to actually conquer Israel and resettle the people. Well, once they've moved into Syria and they've reached Damascus, the capital of Syria, Ahaz actually goes to meet with the king of Assyria in Damascus. And when he's there, he sees an altar that the Assyrians used in idolatry. And he sees what the altar looks like, and he comes back to Judah and says, hey, let's make an altar like them. Let's follow their idolatry. Let's follow the worship that they have. And so he does that in Judah. He's not firm in his faith in the Lord. Yet God still fulfills his word. God still accomplishes his purposes, protects Judah, protects Ahaz, who's in the house of David. He's a descendant of David, the line that Christ is going to come through. God still preserves that line of David. But Ahaz was challenged here, be firm in your faith. And really, that's a challenge for us as well. When we see perhaps the evil plans of someone else or the plans of others that go against God, well, knowing God will be, God's purposes will stand, God will be firm in his purposes and will accomplish his purpose. When we see a difficulty or a thing that we don't like, be firm in our faith. When we go through a difficulty where we might want to change it, well, take the challenge to be firm in our faith through trusting God. to be trusting in God's character, to be trusting in God's goodness, that God's purpose is good, even as we go through a difficulty. Trust that God's purpose is good. Trust in God's wisdom, that he does know what's best, that he's not just trying to do good and doesn't know what's best. No, God's wisdom is perfect. God is all-knowing. God's wisdom is best. Trust God's wisdom. Be firm in our faith. God's purposes will stand. No matter what plan somebody else tries to make, no matter what plans we might try to make for our lives, God's purposes will stand. That's very comforting to us. That's very encouraging to us. But it's also challenging to us. It's challenging to us to be firm in our faith. To be firm in our faith, in our trust in God, in our trust in God's character, in our trust in God's goodness, our trust in God's wisdom. And we need to be firm as we trust God, looking forward to the hope of eternity that he's given to us. So let's close in a word of prayer. Lord, I thank you for your goodness and for your wisdom and for your sovereignty and control, that even when people plan evil, even when people try to turn against you and go a different way, your purposes will stand. And I thank you that you've given us that truth in Proverbs, and that it's a truth we can see all throughout Scripture, that you always accomplish your purposes. Lord, I pray that you would encourage us in that, and that you would comfort us in that as we follow you. But Lord, I pray that you would also challenge us, that we would be firm in our faith, and that we would be trusting in you, and trusting in your goodness and your wisdom and your sovereignty. Lord, thank you for your goodness to us. And Lord, please help us to trust in you and to be faithful to you. In Jesus' name, amen.